So when we look at this passage of scripture, we're reminded of the character and attitude of the early believers. What an amazing unity this group of believers had and displayed. They'd come from every corner of the known world, not just Jerusalem. So there were many cultures represented in this group. And they came from every economic and social layer in society. Rich and poor, slave and free, men and women. They were all gathered with one purpose, of one heart and mind. A very deep sense of unity. Unfortunately, we can probably more honestly say that that isn't how our churches are seen nowadays from outside. One heart and one mind. Some churches are known for being more contentious than unified. Of course, there are also the old jokes about churches being divided about the colour of the carpet or whether the pews should be removed. There's probably quite a bit of truth there. I think we can all remember occasions when some of those things came up. The result of this unified spirit was an outpouring of generosity towards one another. The early church shared their possessions and property because of the unity brought by the Holy Spirit working in and through the believers' lives. The power of the Holy Spirit was not only evident in the generosity believers showed to one another, it was evident in the way they spoke about Jesus. Their testimony was effective for two reasons. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak, but also the story they told was a personal one. They had seen the resurrected Christ with their own eyes. They could testify to their personal experience of the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit turned that personal into a powerful message. And great grace was among them all. Whenever love for God is demonstrated in love for neighbour, grace shows up. When what we say we believe aligns with what we actually do, grace shows up. Whenever the Holy Spirit flows into and through us, grace washes over us. So whenever a need arose in this growing community of believers, someone would go and sell something and bring the proceeds to lay at the apostles' feet for distribution. Laying their gifts at the apostles' feet was a sign of submission to the apostles' authority. Our culture today often views power from a perspective of hierarchy. Who's at the top and who's at the bottom? But in Ephesians, Paul writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the reason there was such unity among so many diverse people who had come together as a community in a very short time is because they had all submitted themselves to Jesus. And that was the very thing that allowed the Holy Spirit to breathe through them with such power. It's what led them to sell their possessions to take care of each other. The community of faith demonstrated amazing generosity to make sure its members had what they needed. They took care of each other. This was not a case of the rich doling out their excess to provide for the poor. It wasn't a case of the poor becoming dependent on the rich to take care of them. The wealthier members of the first church did not see themselves as better than, smarter than, or worthier than their less well-to-do brothers and sisters. When a need arose, someone who had some resources willingly contributed those resources to meet the need. The apostles distributed the resources accordingly. And whenever we just move out of our, give out of our resources, out of our excess, whatever is left over after we pay our own bills and take care of our own desires, Instead of working together to take care of each other, we weaken our testimony to the power of the resurrection. God calls us to more than offering a handout or even a hand up. God calls us to repent of our brokenness so that the Holy Spirit can move in and through us to bear witness to the reality of resurrection, both Christ's and our own. When we are of one heart and soul, when none of us thinks we are somehow better or more blessed than our neighbour, and none of us thinks we are in any way inferior to our neighbour, but we hold all things in common, then grace will come in, and we will be able to proclaim through the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord is risen. They shared generously with each other. There was no alternative agenda going on. What we see is a strong desire to meet the needs of others. The sharing of property wasn't commanded by the leadership. They didn't renounce the concept of private ownership, but they recognised that all they had come from God. There would obviously have been wealthier members of the church who had more than others. They sold some to meet the needs of the poor. In their actions, the message of the gospel continued to be proclaimed. There was not a needy person among them. Those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles then distributed to each person who had any need. So, how do we maintain the biblical standard of unity here in Whitney? Well, I think it starts with humility. Obviously, there are times when we are annoyed by each other. There will be things we don't like, but we are told to bear with one another in love. Making every effort to keep the unity is important for leaders, ensuring that we all meet together. That is how we forge and maintain unity. We need to stay connected. Worship and prayer are connected. Unity and prayer go hand in hand. We need to be committed to reading our Bibles and spreading the word. That is our mission. And we know we can't do it on our own. That is why Jesus left the Holy Spirit to enable us to do just that. Amen.